Hey, folks. Thanks for joining this morning. I know some of you. I'm the vice president for corporate and business development. In that the local issue might not be as well known to the national audience, and the national issue might not be as well known to the local audience, I thought I'd start with a sort of statement that captures what's going on here. Tesla, as most of you know, is a company that is was founded with a very distinct mission, and that is to catalyze a mass market for electric vehicles. We've developed industry-leading innovative technology, powertrain technology. We've offered that in an award in several award-winning cars. Model S is our current offering. It's won the Motor Trend Car of the Year and been a consistent winner of a number of Consumer Reports awards over the course of the past year. Tesla is selling this car directly through our stores around the country in an attempt to educate the populace to the benefits of this innovative new technology. We believe that it's a necessary requirement to make electric vehicles a success in the current era. In Missouri, we've already made substantial investments. Tesla Motors currently operates a sales and service location in St. Louis. It employs 15 people and has invested more than $2 million in the state to date. We plan to add a service center in Kansas City later this day, which would mean another $1 million in investment and probably another additional 15 employees. In addition, we have plans for two supercharger locations in Missouri over the course of the coming year. We believe that states embrace technology, innovation, entrepreneurship over the next few decades will be where jobs and economic investment will flow. Missouri has a proud history of innovation and has been a leader in aerospace and in biotech. Missouri knows how science can create industries and bring jobs to the heartland. That's why this 11th hour attack we saw in the legislature last week was so disappointing. This anti-free market legislation will hurt Missouri consumers by limiting competition and will be a signal to technology companies' investment that Missouri is not open for business. Business and industries from Silicon Valley to Europe will be watching this week to see if Missouri is welcoming new business or putting up restrictions and regulations that don't allow growth. The language in HB 1124, which was originally about all-terrain vehicles and other recreational off-highway vehicles, directly targets Tesla's current and future operations in the state. It does so by prohibiting our existing direct-to-consumer sales model in Missouri. This isn't a simple definition change or a minor clarification of an existing law. It's a complete shift in policy. The proposal, as it currently stands, is an effort by a special interest group, the auto dealers, to create a distribution monopoly that's neither in the best interest of the consumer nor the state at large. Missouri's existing Motor Vehicle Franchise Practices Act explicitly prohibits franchisers from competing with their franchisees, and it's solely meant to prevent interbrand competition. That is to say, Smith Ford in some location having to compete with the Ford Motor Company retail location. This is about interbrand competition. We are interbrand competition. Current law does not require manufacturers to select a business model that requires a middleman. Tesla's direct-to-consumer operations in Missouri comply with all existing consumer and franchise state laws because Tesla does not compete with any franchise. We have never granted a franchise in any state across the country. If this bill passes, Missouri's owners will be forced to have their vehicles serviced out of state. As well, new Missouri customers will be forced to purchase their vehicles out of state. This is a debate about free market principles and consumer choice that should be had in the full light of day, with all sides being given the opportunity to make their case. Instead, the auto dealer lobby is trying to ram through this provision under the cover of darkness and without public debate. We're working hard this week encouraging Missouri legislators to think about what kind of economy they want, one that resorts to short-sighted, special interest-fueled economic protectionism, or a thriving economy where competition and innovation work as free market intended. With only 1 week to go, it's imperative that Missouri consumers and businesses reach out to their state representatives and let them know that creating a new distribution monopoly is the wrong direction for the Missouri economy. So with that statement, I'm happy to take any questions. And go ahead.
Michael Calhoun from KMOX in St. Louis. Have you had any reaction from lawmakers since the alarm was sounded late last week?
Yeah, without getting into the specifics of conversations and individuals, and keeping in mind that it's been a very brief time since this definitional change to the legislation was made. We've had a number of conversations with legislators, and I'm happy to say that it's been we've received a good reception in that it's certainly clarified for them what's going on here and why this change has happened.
This is David Lieb at the Associated Press. Can you tell me what other states have similar provisions already in law prohibiting the direct sale of vehicles, and maybe if there are other states that have laws specifically allowing it?
Yeah, so this is a long and broad topic. Basically, there's a spectrum. Dealer law grew up in the 1930s to protect mom-and-pop dealers from abuses by their manufacturers. So as I said, the local Ford dealership having to compete with a Ford Motor Company store. The diversity of laws across the country runs from California, where if you are a manufacturer and you've never had a dealership, you have a clear path to market, to Texas and Arizona, where in the late 1990s, protections were put in place that prohibited any manufacturer from selling direct, essentially forcing any manufacturer to sell through a dealership. States fall across the spectrum in the middle, across the country. We've been able to set up operations in almost all the markets where we are interested in the short term in operating. But Texas and Arizona are the most prohibitive. New Jersey changed their regulation to more explicitly prohibit manufacturers from selling direct. But that stimulated a counter reaction in the legislature, where there's now a bill to clarify that a manufacturer without a dealership can sell directly to market. So Missouri, if this legislation were to move forward, would be moving into the camp of Texas and Arizona, a straight line distribution monopoly for dealers.
Okay, and so you don't sell any vehicles in Texas right now or Arizona, is that right?
No, that's not quite correct. We operate in Texas and Arizona under a gallery concept, where we open up what to all the world looks like a Tesla store, but where the staff are prohibited from conducting test drives, telling prospects what the cost of the vehicle is, or how they can buy that vehicle.
So what do they do there if they don't do those things?
Well, they talk about the technology in general, keeping in mind that, you know, our whole purpose here is to stimulate a revolution towards sustainable transportation. So they talk about electric vehicle technology in general, the history of the company, and they can talk about the car, but they just can't do so in a sales context, which, as you can imagine, is operationally a little bit challenging, but we figured out ways to conform to the law.
This is Bob Pretty with the Missouri Net. Why not set up dealerships? Would that add to the cost of the car? What's the problem here with having a Tesla dealer?
Yeah, well, we've been very very clear about this. We're nothing if not pragmatic. The history of electric vehicles is a somewhat tortured one, and they've never succeeded in the dealer context. Part of the reason for that is that, you know, there's a fundamental conflict of interest. Where a dealer is based, they have 100% of their business selling gasoline-driven vehicles, 0% of their business from the starting point in electric vehicles, and in order to promote the new technology, they're eviscerating their old. As most people know, in a sales context, in a dealership, the salesmen themselves are incentivized to move product quickly. I'm told that one of the industry standards is selling a vehicle every 20 minutes. That doesn't lend itself very well to the educational process for a new technology like electric vehicles, where we spend 2 to 3 hours, often over the course of several visits, with customers, getting them comfortable with, as I said, the technology, the new company, and the car itself. So it's really just a bad fit. And don't take my word for it. Follow the press on this issue. There was just over the weekend a report about how GM is having to encourage its dealers with a $5,000 incentive just to get those dealers to do test drives in the new Cadillac ELR, which is a plug-in electric vehicle. That is that comes on the heels of reports that GM was having difficulty even getting dealers to accept the ELR for sale. The bottom line is it's a conflict of interest. It's the dealers not familiar with this business, not vested in its success, have no natural incentive to promote it in the fashion that we do.
Mark Davis with the Kansas City Star. There were a lot of dealerships driven out of business in the reorganization of GM, and wouldn't that be an audience that you could bring back into dealerships, independent of what you're talking about now?
Well, for all the reasons I just stated, it really doesn't matter if a dealer is currently in business or if they're out of business. And let me go to another point here. You know, dealers make a lot of their money through parts and service. That's also a bad fit for electric vehicles, where the service profile is much lower, and where at Tesla Motors in particular, our goal is to make no money on service and parts, because we fundamentally believe that, you know, we should be responsible for the integrity of the vehicle. So we're not putting a product out there that people are going to have to come back repeatedly and spend money on repairs.
Hey, Dermot, this is Mike Ramsey from Journal.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Governor Nixon, is there any chance that he would sign a bill like this? I mean, do you have any sense that the governor would support this? I know it's a kind of a divisive setup there right now with the legislature, between the legislature and the governor there.
Yeah, I've learned a lot in my time at Tesla about politics, and one of the keystones is not to put words in politicians' mouths. I can't speak for the governor's intentions here, but certainly we've been engaged in outreach to his office to clarify what's really going on here and to solicit his support if this thing were to get to his desk.
I'm sorry I missed this at the beginning. Or maybe I was troubled hearing it. You said that you've made a $2 million investment in Missouri already. What are those investments?
Sure. So, you know, we've set up a sales and service center in St. Louis. These are not insignificant investments we make wherever we make them. And our calculation is that between those efforts, setting those operations up, lease arrangements, and labor to date, we've racked up something on the order of $2 million in investment. And as I said, we have another operation poised implementation in Kansas City, so we could very well double that kind of investment. And then, as you know, we're setting up superchargers around the country. We finished our cross-country and our coastal routes, and we're now building out our local routes around metros to serve our customers and make long-distance driving a simple and free proposition. And so in Missouri, we've got two sites that we're working on or that we'll be working on before the end of the year.
Aaron, this is Phil LeBeau with CNBC. Can you tell me what percentage of your sales came from the state of Missouri last year? What the total number was?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Phil. But as you know, we're a little bit unique in the way that we talk about our numbers. I don't have a split for you here, and I probably should have the registration data in front of me. I don't. Maybe we could follow up with you on that. But here's the thing. Missouri is a strong market for us. We do, you know, the theme or the meme about Tesla or the critique is that we're mostly a coastal proposition, but that couldn't be further from the truth. We've got strong markets throughout the Midwest, in Illinois, in Missouri, in particular, and so you know, this is a serious issue for us, and we're treating it as we would treat this issue in. As we've treated this issue in New York and New Jersey. I mean, basically every prospect to us is equal, and so it doesn't matter where they live or how big the market is or how strategic the market is. We want this technology to proliferate across the country.
Jess here with St. Louis Public Radio. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Okay, great. My question is, with this new New Jersey law, with this potential law in Missouri, does it seem like the selling directly to customers has become more of an uphill climb than you anticipated?
The answer is it's kind of diverse. I think that it's been extraordinarily rewarding. Selling direct has validated everything that we thought we knew coming into this, that we thought we knew about consumer behavior, that we thought we knew about how we could be successful moving this technology forward. So it's been vastly worth the effort. In the past few years, the dealers, I'll say national effort to enhance their distribution monopoly has been disturbing and distracting. But on the other hand, it's probably put us in the news in a way that's been useful, in that, a whole new group of folks who may not have known about electric vehicles or might not have been sympathetic to electric vehicles see what's going on here to a company that's born out of American innovation, a company that manufactures cars in the United States, in California, no less, being prevented from accessing the market by either through anachronistic laws or by creating, through protectionist policies, distribution monopolies. So whatever difficulty or trouble it's been more than worth it to expand the market and to reach out to customers directly.
Dearman, we probably have time for about two more questions, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Mark Davis with the Kansas City Star. Can you locate the Kansas City location yet?
No, we're not ready to make that announcement yet. But thanks for giving me the opportunity to offer a fact. Phil, going back to your question, we have something on the order of 130 cars registered in Missouri at this point. So a small but meaningful market for us, and growing. We had something like, I think we had several reservations just last week, and maybe since this issue popped up.
Well, if no other questions, Mark Davis again with the Kansas City Star. We just saw Uber launch here in Kansas City and Lyft as well, and they're having a battle with the city over livery drivers and taxi cabs. Do you see any parallels here?
It's an interesting question, and more and more is popping up. I really don't know that much about the Uber and Lyft battles, but what I can say is this, that we are licensing our operation in conformance with all relevant customer and dealer laws in the state of Missouri, or frankly, wherever we operate. Ours is not an effort to skirt consumer protections or evade relevant laws. Ours is an effort to obtain and maintain licenses so that we are a fully conforming operation in whatever state we operate. And so there's a little bit of irony here in that the dealers are trying to prevent us from operating under the law. But that's about all I can say about the Uber and Lyft issues. I'm not familiar with the details. But what this does also compare to is, in some states, the two- and three-tier distribution model in alcohol and liquor, where folks are forced to work through middlemen in order to access the market.